Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, August 11th, and we're back. Hi, Tori.
Hi, Sam.
I don't know why my thing is not loud enough today, but
yesterday mine wasn't.
Really? Yeah. It's like you sometimes come in here and you feel like there's ghosts playing with the machines.
I feel you.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, how can it possibly be? You go home at night, everything's working. You come in the morning, and it's not. So go figure what the hell's going on. But at any rate, welcome to the show, folks. We have great guests today. We'll get to them in just a moment. Anything new, Tori, to report? What's going on in the news? I see something with Giuliani.
Oh, yeah. He's a crazy person.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
He is, too?
Yeah. He also called Obama the founder of ISIS. So he's lost all reputation and credibility.
I thought Trump said that.
Yeah, but then he agreed with him. So
oh,
I'm
he
over
did.
Him. Yeah.
Okay.
I will tell you, for you, you might like this. Obama administration announced that they are opening a barrier to marijuana research.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. I guess I would like that.
There you go.
Like it really matters to me, right?
But please.
I've done enough research for 40
exactly.
years, you know?
But maybe this will help with epilepsy or other things. So they're opening it up.
Good, good. Yes. Well, maybe I'll avoid epilepsy
there
and
you
stuff,
go.
You know? I don't know. We'll see.
There you go.
You know, I'm a candidate for Parkinson's, which I'm not happy about.
Ooh,
but both my grandmother and my father have had it.
Really?
And, yeah. But they're saying that this helps Parkinson's. So wouldn't
very
it be funny
so.
If I cheated Parkinson's?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I smoked pot all my life.
There you go.
Yeah, there
it's
you
like,
go.
It's like, they also say it might help with Alzheimer's. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah,
you
right?
still get memory issues, but
yeah, exactly.
Not as bad.
You know? Yeah, I guess when you have Alzheimer's, it can't get all that worse,
yes,
right?
Yes,
so
yes.
maybe you'll get some memory back.
That's
who
right.
knows? Yeah.
I was on a plane.
But it does screw up my memory, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah, like the other day I was forgetting things and stuff when I did the edible.
Mm-hmm.
And then that night I did another edible and
nice.
I went on another show. And a friend told me, they said, do you realize you're forgetting things when you're talking? And on the radio, it's really amplified. I said, yeah no more edibles
no more.
On the radio.
Your work ethic, it's crazy. Yeah,
exactly,
so
right?
Strong.
I'm telling you. I waited all my life to be able to smoke and yeah, and just have fun while I'm working, you know? But it, to me, it's not partying anymore. I mean, you have to understand, you know, you smoke for so many years. It's just a mood enhancer,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
okay?
That's a great...
Makes me a little more relaxed and comfortable.
I like that.
Yeah, you know? I mean, sometimes it's like when I'm not, I drive on the freeway and I get really irritated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still do, you
LA,
know?
LA, man, the road rage is out of control.
It's, yeah,
oh,
it's
yeah.
really bad, you know? So... Because people drive like crazy here.
Yeah.
And so...
LA
but
is
yeah,
very,
I mean,
like,
I'm,
laid back with that. You know, it's,
yeah.
everyone needs a little weed because...
Exactly.
Because the traffic is so effing
everybody
bad,
could use
right?
to mellow out,
chill
yeah.
out.
Even everybody in ISIS should mellow out a little bit, too, you know?
Maybe weed for everyone.
Yeah.
Is really the answer.
Yeah. They need some weed and strip clubs, you know, over there. And then they won't be so angry.
I feel like the dancers would just be like, whatever. And
yeah.
just, like, lay down and be tired.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, eat Fritos.
Yeah.
Be awesome.
But, I mean, you know, strip bars like we have here.
Yeah.
Where they wouldn't be so angry all
right.
the time, you know? I mean, you know, people need vagina, you
yeah.
know? I mean, what can you say?
Amen.
You know? I'm trying to be diplomatic about it. So.
No, everyone needs
but
vagina.
There you go. Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Today's episode called Vagina and Weed.
Yeah, there you
by
go.
Sam and Tori. That's so ridiculous.
Yeah, you didn't know what you got yourself
I
into,
love
huh?
it. I love it.
So tell me so what went on with Giuliani there? What did he say that was
terrible? First of all, he's got some kind of weird birthmark or something on his Gorbachev going on. I don't
oh,
know what's
really?
Happening. I hope he's all right.
That's got to be new, right?
Those new if you're younger than me, you probably don't know who that is, but look it up. yeah, he's like going crazy. From the weird. RNC, he did this like wild gesticulation.
Yeah, I never
he
even
a
saw
little,
that one.
They said a little like, you know, a little Hitler-y when he was like,
really?
Yeah, wow. Hitler was a very profound speaker with a lot of gestures. And Giuliani was like going crazy and someone thought he was on drugs. And then today he came out and he's like, yep, I agree. Obama is the founder of ISIS. Mm. And I'm like, wow. So I watched Joe Scarborough on the morning show on MSNBC. He's a staunch Republican. He's like, I've lost all credibility for that
really?
Man that I admired.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, ISIS did happen in Obama's watch.
Well, we are not going there.
Okay. All right. That's true. Thanks for reminding
there
me.
There you go.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Not a political show today,
not
folks.
Not today.
Not when we have guests in here. Yeah. But believe me, I've done quite a bit of reading on ISIS, though, and at least I understand what's going on and where they come from and everything. But yeah, it's a long history and stuff, and who cares, really?
Yeah.
You know, it's just that we're faced with it now. It doesn't matter who started it or anything. It's just that if it wasn't ISIS, it was Al-Qaeda before that, and all the
Taliban
rest of the gangs. Yeah.
It gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, so, and they're all over the world, so there you go. I challenge anybody to find this flashpoint in the world that does not involve, you know, extremists and extreme Islamists and stuff. But, you know,
maybe
a president won't call them that, though. Why is that?
You want to go here? Should
we go here? Yeah, I'm curious.
I think as presidents, you have to be very careful with your words, and I don't think you want to generalize an entire nation. And I think he wants to not add to the fire, and he wants to de-escalate.
Okay. Well,
but I understand there's
no
there.
Yeah, I mean, I feel he is an appeaser, and I'm not happy.
I don't mind having a president that's an appeaser. I also
really
I think he also is. I don't think he's a war hawk, but I think he's got balls, and I think he does go after stuff we don't even know about. But I'd rather an appeaser than an aggressor.
Okay.
But I hear you that some people would rather have more of a war hawk.
Yeah. Well, appeasement has not worked in history, but, you know, what can I say?
Give peace a chance.
Yeah, exactly. But he's had his 8 years. He showed us what he can do, and, you know, we'll move on. All right. a couple of other things I wanted to mention is I guess this 14-year-old was killed by police. By LAPD?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that. I'm just seeing this now. And a 14-year-old girl. Wow.
There's another one today that said a father killed his 11-year-old daughter because she spooked him with a gun.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's a 14-year-old boy. I don't know why.
No, it's two different things. I mean, it's just
drugs. No, I mean the one I was talking about. But, yeah, crazy. They're saying that he was shooting at them, but I don't know what's going on.
He was a good boy.
Oh, okay.
A good.
There's another page that starts the audio right away. Terrible. Mm. So, yeah, a lot of stuff happening with the police, you know, but...
And then today, the Baltimore was under a federal investigation for their police department after Freddie Gray and all that, and they came out with a scathing report that Baltimore is basically a racist police department.
Really?
Yeah, and so they are working on a consent decree where they work together with new policies and a new way to look at the community, and hopefully people were arrested for sitting on a bench wrong, or people were stopped for spitting or panhandling, and it's like... It was insane.
Ridiculous.
Yeah,
Wow.
So let's hope that changes some lives.
Yeah. Baltimore wasn't too far from where you live, right?
No, Bemore, no. Yeah. Great aquarium.
Yeah?
Great aquarium.
Really? Okay. I'll go there for
the
aquarium.
There you go. Just letting you know. Great waterfront. I don't love whales. Whales are my number one most scariest thing in the world to
really?
Me.
Really?
But great. Other than that, the fish are lovely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds good. All right. Well, let's get to our guests now. And I think we totally shocked them with our conversations here, but what are you going
to
do,
she
right?
Needs to do it. Come on.
All right. Well, we have Don Noel and Fred Thomas Jr. Was that it?
Yes.
Welcome to the show, guys. Get closer to the mic.
Thank you. Yes.
Close to the mic. We have to be able to hear you.
Yeah.
So welcome to the show, guys.
Hi.
And Don, you've been at the station before. Has Fred been here too?
Yes, we've been on Cameron's show.
Yes.
You've been here before. Okay, so you know what you're up against. And you guys are you just made a film, right? Is it new? I mean, has it been around for a while?
It's been about a year now, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Since I would say you usually try to do it from. Post-production, you just said, oh, we're done.
Right.
Now it works. So it's been about a year. It's been doing really, really well. It's called 22 Years.
Uh-huh.
Starring Don Noel.
Woo!
So you're the star, Don? Now, how did the movie come about? Are you, like, part of the production of the... Yeah, producers and everything too.
I am the producer.
You are the producer of the film.
This woman is everything.
Yeah. Wow, very
and
cool.
And
I'm looking at your past and everything. I mean, all your career and stuff. You've done a lot of things, and we'll cover that and stuff. What does 22 years mean? What does it stand for?
Well, the film is about a woman that hasn't seen her biological father in 22 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's a little tearjerker.
Yeah. Is that based on reality for you, or?
Not so much me, but someone in my family with kind of maybe my own emotions of my own father. Kind of a little mix, fiction, a little bit, you know.
Just great, yeah. Well, you're definitely a pro, because that's what pros say. They say they take like a profile of different characters and stuff and put them together,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
To create a new character or something.
It's like cooking with different spices.
Yeah, you know there I mean? You go.
Got some cumin.
Wow. So how did you come to produce a film? Have you done this before?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Maybe about 4 years ago, I produced my first short film, Shattered Pitch. It has Chad Coleman in it. He was in The Wire, The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And then I just really... Well, because when I moved to Los Angeles, I'm from Philadelphia and New York. Mm-hmm. As an actor, I'm waiting for work to come. You're waiting for the agent to call. And
they never do. Mama, I know.
So you're like, I needed to be creative and productive. And I was like, well, I'll create my own stuff.
Exactly. I'll do my own stuff.
I'll create work for myself.
Wow.
So I started... So this is my second film. And this film is going, has been all over the country in a bunch of different film festivals.
Yeah, you guys have a ton of awards. I was looking at that. Yeah.
Wow. So how do you get the film distributed? Has it been in theaters at all, or mostly at festivals and things like that?
Well, more so, since it's a short, you try to run the festival route.
So it is a short.
Yes, a short.
Okay, okay. So yeah, so usually those don't succeed in movie theaters, right? They don't take many of them.
Yeah, it usually has to
be a darling of the critics. Yeah,
or be put together with a compilation of other, you know, recognized films to kind of get that recognition. But right now, there's a bunch of different outlets, like your iTunes. You can sell them on Amazon and places like that. So that's future things we're thinking about. But but we would just love to pretty much just get it out and win awards in the festival route, and so that people will, you know, recognize it and see it, and so that it could get some sort of distribution deal.
Right. Yeah. Now, so what made you decide? I mean, you probably knew there's some uphill battle as far as like short films, right? Isn't it harder to get them distributed, say, for a, you know, than full featured?
Sure. I mean, well, you need a whole lot more money to make a feature film.
Obviously.
It's cheaper. Exactly. Cheaper.
Obviously. I would make a short. Yeah.
That's right.
I
mean, yeah.
Who's got the patience?
That's right. And then, you know, he has more work to show for himself as a director. I'm practicing as a producer. I have more footage. All of my actors have footage if they need it. It just kind of shows a little bit of a resume for all of us. And, you know, now the next time somebody says, oh, Dawn, you produce this, you produce that, they'll trust me to give me money to create a feature. And the same for him as the director.
This is smart work.
Yeah, and it's a platform, you know. Yes. It's a calling card for your next thing.
Because
I was going, you know, I did quite a few shorts, and I got into this conversation with somebody, and he was like, "Yo, you don't need to do shorts anymore. You need to start doing features." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm doing features."
Sure.
And then you sit there,
and it's
and you're like
tumbleweed.
Wait a minute, how do you just start doing
a
feature?
How do you even get started?
Like, you know, because and it's so funny, because when I was going through that process, Dawn presented the project to me, and I was kind of like, "Oh, but I said I wasn't going to do no more shorts." But it's like, you know, then you're not working.
Yeah,
you're not being.
Then
an
you're
artist.
Idle.
Like,
that's
you're not being an artist. If you're if you're true to the craft and it's your passion, it doesn't matter what you do, whether you do a short or whether you do, you know, a feature or a TV show, whatever.
Right.
So, I was definitely like, I'd be crazy if I wouldn't do the short.
You weren't part of it.
And
how did you guys connect? I mean, how did you know about him to cast him in the movie?
Director.
Director.
Yeah.
Well,
we're both from Philadelphia.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, did you meet there or
no,
here?
No. That's the funny thing about it. We met here through a mutual friend in Atlanta.
Wow.
Yeah, right? It was Anissa.
Oh,
Anissa.
Yeah.
Anissa.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a mutual friend in Atlanta who said, oh, you should meet this guy, Fred. Oh, you
That's
should meet
so
this girl,
funny.
Dawn.
Uh-huh.
But her and I grew up 15 blocks from each
Whoa.
Other.
Whoa.
And I went to high school with her brothers.
Yeah.
Really?
And we've never met.
What a connection,
like, we've been
right?
in the same space. We've hung out in some of the same club. We know the same people.
Wow.
But we never met until we got here.
Wow.
Yeah.
What
crazy.
A story.
We met for coffee. And I love his hustle. And, you know, he works hard and he's really smart. he got his master's in film at Temple, mm-hmm. and I saw some of his other work, and I was like, let's do this.
Yeah, you know,
I feel like when I'm as like an actor, me too, I'm always trying to make self-generate because no one's calling. I promise you. Every time I get an unknown phone call, I'm like, it's Brad Pitt, and it's like, this is your CVS pharmacy. Your antidepressants are ready for pickup. So, but I always was like, that's why I did stand up. I was like, I just got to make a calling card, and that's like a short. Or I was like, I'm going on the radio because I'm going to get myself out there, exposure. And you like the same type of self-minded people.
Yeah,
good, awesome. How long have you been in LA from Philadelphia?
Well, I was in New York for 12 years.
Oh, okay.
I lived there, and then I'm here 6 years.
Oh, nice. Okay. And what did you do in New York?
I've done a bunch of Broadway shows. I was in The Lion King.
She's a dancer.
In The Heights. I was
yeah, she didn't even tell us about that yet. Yeah. So you were a dancer, and that's what you that's where you're performing, doing dancing and stuff?
Well, that's where I started.
Right.
You know, my whole life I was a dancer. I toured with Madonna and J-Lo.
J-Lo.
I made
so that's how you know Leo, because he's a dancer too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, wow, that's cool. So where did you learn dancing?
I've been dancing since I was 3 years old.
Really?
I went to the high school for performing arts in Philadelphia. I got a BFA at the University of the Arts. And then one of my first teacher, Roni Koresh, Israeli, has a Koresh dance company. And he was my first teacher since I was 9. He studied with Batsheva. So,
Very cool.
I started out as classically trained modern dancer.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's the type of dancing you do now, like modern dancing, contemporary stuff?
That's what
stuff.
I did.
Do you not do dance anymore?
Do you don't like dance
it?
Anymore?
Nah, not really. Now I'm just acting, producing, and, you know.
That's in your past?
Yeah.
You don't still do dancing sometimes?
I mean, I could.
Yeah.
But... LA is a little different.
You
than
got
New
it
York.
Out of mm-hmm. out of your
system. I came from New York too, and it's a very different vibe.
Yeah. They're
very
booty
cool.
shaking out here.
Yeah,
that's true.
And you know, I'm not gonna do, and I don't want to travel and tour anymore. You know, live out of a suitcase.
How was it to tour with Madonna and J-Lo? I'm just like, how was that? Amazing?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like chartered flights and dying right now. 10-star hotel.
When I read that, I was like, wake up, Brooks, wake up. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That was an amazing experience.
Unbelievable.
Very cool. And how long have you been here?
I've been in L.A. It's been about 15 years now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's home years. For you.
Yeah, from Philadelphia.
From Philadelphia, you moved directly. And what did you do there before
Actually, before I came out to L.A., I was in grad school.
Nice.
Oh. I was in grad school and working on different productions. I worked for a production company called Big Picture Alliance, where we did films with adjudicated youth, like kids who were actually transitioning from school to jail.
Wow.
So they would be in this program where if they got the act together, they could possibly go back to high school and graduate. And we implemented filmmaking techniques and acting and directing and writing into their curriculum.
Wow.
And a lot of these kids like totally excelled.
You give them arts and they're done.
You
give them a chance, done.
Yeah. So I was doing that in grad school and waiting tables.
Always waiting tables.
And waiting
tables. Gotta pay the bills somehow.
Gotta.
Did you have any siblings? Did you grow up with
I have a stepsister and I have a brother. They're, my stepsister's older than me. My little brother, we have a 23-year difference.
Wow.
Like, wow.
Yeah, he could be my son.
Yeah.
And I have a daughter, so that makes him my uncle.
Yeah.
And they are a year apart.
Modern family.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I love it.
Crazy.
Very
crazy.
Cool.
Yeah.
What was your childhood like? Did you have an easy childhood in Philadelphia?
Yeah. It was a good childhood. I grew up in South Philadelphia. Went to Philly's kind of segregated. Which is kind of interesting because I went to a Catholic school, which was probably I would say maybe 70% black.
Wow.
And it's interesting when you grow up and you hear, you know, talk about religion and denominations and ethnicities. When you're a kid, that doesn't register too much.
Right.
So to meet people, like I had never, like when people would see like, oh my God, you're Catholic and you're black.
How could that
it was like
be?
Like an anomaly.
Right?
Like, I was like, yo, everybody in my neighborhood.
That's everybody I know.
Was Catholic. Whoa. Like, yeah, it was a white Catholic, you Irish, you Italian. So it was kind of interesting growing up in that dynamic, but yet I hung on a corner, you know, with guys, you know, who went to public school around the way, my friends. Right. So I had a very interesting
mix
of friends from grade school all the way through high school, because then I went to all-white high school, St. John Newman, which was maybe 10% black.
Yeah.
And then I would leave there and take my tie off and put my sneakers on and go hang on the corner. And I was in a rap group with some friends. So it was kind of, you know.
He's well-rounded.
I didn't know you were in a rap group.
Yeah.
did the rap group have a name? Did it have a name?
It was called the Star Crew.
That's it?
Yeah. I actually started off, I was trying to be a member of the Star Crew, but there was like 9 members, so I had to work my way up. So I had to start off as record boy. So I had to carry the records, and they would feature me every now and then. They're like, "All right, bring it. He can rap this time." So all
where
of
did
everybody
you perform?
Got,
yeah, yeah, on the street
at house parties.
Oh, okay.
And then because you know back then you used to you would either have a party at the pool in the playground. Mm. You would carry it like, but it'd be at nighttime when the pool was closed. You would lift the equipment over the gate and find a little place in the pool, and everybody would climb over the gate in the pool and have a party in the
pool.
Same thing with the schoolyards.
There you go.
Parties.
See, kids get creative.
Yeah,
stuff,
pool
right?
party.
Now, Don, you also promote the film as having diversity, a diversity of actors and so forth. Was that something conscious that was in your mind when you started?
No, that's actually pretty funny. We were talking about this recently, you know, all the whole thing with Oscar's So White. And I was like, oh, my God, we did that subconsciously. Mm-hmm. Like, just because I think that's who I am as a person and who I've always been. You know, growing up, we grew up very different. 15 blocks from each other.
It's very,
different.
A world apart.
No, I grew up, you know, my school, there was every nationality, it was like the fame school.
Really? Mm.
Yeah, so I mean, I grew up, all my dance teachers were gay from 9 years old. And so to me, I didn't see anything.
Right.
You know, not saying that my family wasn't that. Right. I was different than my family or where I grew up. But
so you
that's
just
normal
like,
to me.
Diversity right, so you're
normal.
Just casting it without thinking they're white,
of
they're
course,
black, they're
of
all
course.
This. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, are you talented? Right. And then you have to be careful working with your friends because it can ruin friendships.
Friendships, yes.
But then you're like, you have to be around this person 24/7. So you better like the person that you need to call and bug. I call him a million times a day. I don't take it personal. He doesn't answer.
Yeah.
You know, but he knows that I care and like I'm just trying to get stuff done and he gets me. You know, you have to get people. You have to understand people.
I always say, when I go to, like, work with someone in a comic, I always say, can I have brunch with this person? Because I just want to be able to, like, hang out and talk and discuss and have mimosas. And if I can't really see myself having brunch, we're going to move on. You know what I mean? It's just like, can I jive?
You
got
to be able to tolerate them at least for that long, right?
Yeah, I just wanted, it's just a beautiful story. It's about the story. It's about the talent. It's not about any nationality or race or politics, you know. I even hate talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need diversity. Mm-hmm. This is America. We are a melting pot.
CBS, the CEO just announced today that he agrees CBS is like incredibly non-diverse. And people were, Aziz Ansari was making fun of it. I'm like, people need to at least address it. let's be out there.
Right. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the story. I mean, you said it's about a woman. Been waiting for 22 years to see her biological father. It's funny because I was thinking today of my daughter, and she's seen her biological father just about every day, but she's kind of lost, you know. Mm-hmm. And I started almost crying, you know. Mm-hmm. I thought, this is my little girl. She doesn't want my help. Mm-hmm. You know. And
sometimes you have to be lost to find your way.
Mm-hmm. I guess you do, you know. But it's hard to look at your kid and not be able to help them, you know. But I guess you do have that thing, right? Even if you're adopted or something, or you have a stepdad or something, you want to meet your biological one, right? What's that urge? Do you think that's like built in?
I think it's something. It's just that it's just being inquisitive. Like you want to see that extension of you, like where you came from,
right?
Even if you're like maybe there might not be anything that manifests out after this, at least to see, like maybe ask like what happened or you know, just to connect. I mean, and honestly, you know, it's just good to know where you come from.
Right.
I mean, if you can, you know,
well,
and your brothers
and sisters.
But that's
what the film is about. Yeah. We don't know. This is her struggle.
Struggle, right.
Oh. She's gone 22 years without seeing her father. Her life is good. She's fine. She's independent. So does she take this chance and open this door again? Mm-hmm. Like, you know. Yeah.
Some people choose not to. Some people just like, you know, I'd rather, I'm good. Like, this is my life and that's the way it is.
It's
and
a huge
I don't need
risk.
Nothing
huge
else.
Risk.
So, yeah,
it's about possibly giving somebody a second chance, forgiveness.
Right.
But she doesn't know his side of the story of why
he left.
That's
true, exactly. So she wants to know that.
So it starts with a phone call. Is that what happens? He calls out of the blue?
Email.
Email.
He sends an email, yeah.
That's got to be cray-cray to get that email.
Yeah.
My God.
It's probably a pretty emotional film, right?
Yeah.
And her mother has passed, so it's not... You know, she can't even go and have that conversation like, yo, should I?
Right, there's
what?
No sounding board.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you have to make the decision.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I don't know what I would do in that situation.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of hard, you know. But, so how long is the film? How long is it?
It's, 16 minutes.
16 yeah. minutes.
16 minutes.
And you've got quite a cast here, huh? I mean, so you squeezed a lot in 15 minutes.
I think a short sometimes is harder to write than a feature. You have to put a beginning, middle, and end.
The storyline.
A moment in time, a story in under 20 minutes.
Yeah, right.
So very challenging.
Yeah, it's very, very challenging.
Right. Wow.
I feel like shorts, I don't know. In a way, they're trendier now, and the attention span, we have nothing left.
Exactly.
So now it's like kind of cool.
You know what I mean? Yeah. People want to watch shorts.
I would rather watch a short than like, you know, a 3-hour Richard Linklater. But my thing is this, too. the Amazon and the way for distribution is the timing for you guys is perfect. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going through that. I mean, we cut the cable 3 months ago. Now we just do Amazon and that type of thing.
Definitely. Right.
It's good timing.
Yeah.
I know. I did that, too, and I got this app called Sling TV.
Yeah, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And that gives you some TV channels and stuff. Mm-hmm. I got it because I don't watch any TV. I only watch CNN. So I figured they offer CNN for $20 a month. Mm-hmm. I don't have to spend $100 on TV, right? Well, that app is the biggest piece of shit I've ever seen. It crashes all the time. I can't watch my TV.
I
said, the hell with you guys.
No, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I sent them emails. They don't answer back. I said, the hell with this. I'm back on my cable. And
you know what I did? My husband did. He bought rabbit ears from Best Buy. They're
$30.
And we get NBC, Fox, clearly
right, the
high
locals,
def.
Right.
Yeah, so we watch the Olympics.
Like tinfoil.
Yeah, like literally. Like, we're going backwards.
Back
in
yeah.
We like are adjusting it. I'm like, this is cray cray. But it's great.
Yeah. No, they have really modern ones now, those antennas. Stuff, but I just can't imagine. I'm so pissed that I'm paying like $100 a month for one channel that I barely watch, you know.
Yep.
But I need to have my news channel. What can I say?
CNN.
You know? So should we? I guess we could give a shout out to some of the people in the film, but there's so many. So you had co-producers as well. I see, right?
Yeah, you know,
an
some
executive
of them
producer. So you need a lot of people to organize something like this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I had a couple people that helped out more in pre-production, like towards the beginning, and then maybe one other person helped out post-production after the film was done. You know, everybody wants a credit. Everybody's learning something. They want a credit on IMDb. And they believe in me. They believe in the project. So there was a few producers. I had an executive producer, my friend Megan. She was also a dancer. She's from Philadelphia. Known her a long time.
Dancers have the best work ethic. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You can't get someone working harder than a dancer. Seriously.
It's true.
Very
Our
true.
Our life is like whiplash.
Yeah, yeah.
Whiplash.
Harder. Tempo. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've seen like J-Lo behind the scenes that she's just relentless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do it again.
Wow.
Yeah, we have a great cast. Some of our actors, Roberto Sanchez, he was in Too Fast, Too Furious. He's done a ton of movies and TV. I mean, he's got a great resume. And Kieran Giovanni, she's a series regular on Major Crimes. Luis Jose Lopez, he's done, what was he doing? American Sniper.
Yeah.
But I think our biggest thing right now that we're really promoting is we're nominated for an Imagen Award.
Mm.
And that's on September 9th at the Beverly Hills Hilton. And it's basically like the Latin Golden Globes.
That's fantastic.
It's huge. If you go to the website, like J-Lo will be there, Sofia Vergara, everybody's nominated. And there's only four short films. So
wow.
I went crazy. I was screaming.
Mazel tov.
Right?
That's amazing.
That, thank you.
When you get awards and you get just a night to recognize yourself. Woo.
Yeah.
Do you know what you're wearing?
No, not yet. Yeah. Not yet.
I love that.
Yeah, it's funny. The first thing women think about: what are you wearing?
I'm the like, pride of it, and then yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. We're like we're throwing a pair of pants and a shirt. And like,
show up there.
You know,
you better wear a tux.
That's right. You'll look high in a tux. When you look at a tux,
yeah. That's one thing about LA, though. It's hard to dress up because it's always so hot and stuff. You
and
know,
casual. You right, look like an casual. Idiot, don't you?
Yeah. Right, like casual. It's too casual sometimes. Yeah. So you know that. You know, that's one of the things I like when I go to New York City, mm-hmm. because they also have the weather. So, mm-hmm. you know, when you bundle up, you have scarves and jackets and coats.
The accessories, the hat.
Exactly.
I look great in a hat.
Really?
I do. Okay. Hats love me.
There you go. So, you know, but for men here, it's just T-shirts and shorts, you know? I mean, my God, you know?
Flip-flops.
How can you express yourself with fashion, you know?
That's right.
So when you go out, you try a little bit and stuff, but... You know, even the fashion here is not that great, you know?
It's a lot of, like, women with, like, bralettes and, like, loose baggies. They look homeless, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, right? I look homeless 99%.
Oh, I do, too, but that's because I, like, I'm in, like a carcass of, like, a venom. Like, I'm always wrapped in something. But the style of those short shorts and then that boho, it's the boho look. It looks great on, like, very skinny people, but I look pregnant and, like, wrong. So bad.
Oh, my, no, now it's, like, these boots, their butt is hanging.
That's what I'm saying. I can see your vulva.
Labia.
Yeah. The labia. I can see it.
There you go.
It's ridiculous. And
yeah.
But my husband's from Chicago, a suburb, and he's always concerned about being underdressed constantly. Mm-hmm. And his father, he's never seen his mom or dad in jeans. Ever.
Really?
So very, you know, preppy Irish Catholics, right?
Right. Wow.
And every time we go out, he's like, is this okay? Is this okay? I'm like, it's L.A. Yeah. Like, I could be naked. Like, doesn't matter.
That's true. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Anything goes, you know. Shoes don't match the pants and all that. Yeah. People don't care, you know. So, yeah, I mean, even when you go out sometimes to restaurants and stuff, you don't want to dress up and stuff. People come in shorts and
it's
know,
difficult
jeans.
To dress going to a restaurant here.
Yeah, yes. Because right?
you'll, like, I went to... Crustacean.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
A couple months ago, and you know, we wore a suit and dresses, and we come in, and this guy and his girlfriend comes in with t-shirts.
And they're like, "Where are you guys
coming
from?"
I love that. Yeah, shorts, sneakers. We were like,
"Yeah, what? Okay. What is this?"
Like, we're like, "Okay, we're underdressed."
Yeah, it feels weird.
But it's a 5-star restaurant. I'm sorry, I'm confused.
Very strange. And in DC, you really like dress up. So I look, but you look like an idiot. Where did you guys come from? The Oscars?
Right.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Don Noel and Fred Thomas Jr., and they made the film 22 Years. Do you have siblings? Did you grow up with siblings and stuff?
Yeah, I have two older brothers.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah.
What was that like growing up? Are they older?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there was a lot of fighting. I was a big tomboy.
Really?
You know, taught me how to play sports, picked on me a lot. You know, all the
toughened
me up.
Yeah.
Are you guys close at all?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
When did you start dancing? You said you came out of the womb basically dancing.
Yeah, since I was three. Okay. Yeah. I was acting, commercials, theater, since I was a kid.
It's usually that way, isn't it? It's like, we know we got it or you don't have it.
Yeah. You either stay with it or you kind of die out. Totally. At, you know.
Right. Like, so you realized early on you're a creative person. Did you ever do a 9-to-5?
Never in my life.
Oh, my God, you're so lucky.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what I would do.
It was dreadful. It's just dreadful.
I mean, I can't even type. No, I can't. I mean, I used to, like, I didn't learn. I went to a performing arts high school. We didn't have those, you know, those kind of classes. We didn't even have sports.
Yeah.
You know, it was just singing and dancing in the hallways.
That's like my dream. That's like my dream. Oh, my God. You know, my dream. No math, just arts.
Voguing down the hallway.
It's the best.
Wow. Yeah. So if people want to see the film now, can they see it anywhere?
Yeah, well, I haven't really put it out there yet. We were part of an online festival not too long ago, but I think the film may still be up on there. But, you know, I kind of want to save it until after we're done the festival run.
Yeah.
Next month, we're going to the Twin Cities Film Festival, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
I just came from there. It's delightful.
Mm-hmm.
Delightful.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a while.
Beautiful.
Yeah, a long time ago.
So, yeah, we still have a few more festivals to go to, and then maybe I can just, like, stick it on Amazon. Or maybe we get a little distribution deal or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the trailer.
But, yeah, you can definitely see the trailer on YouTube. And then you can follow us on Twitter, 22 Years Film. We're on Facebook, 22 Years, the number 22.
Right. Like the Taylor Swift song.
I feel it. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I'm so sad that I know that.
I'm glad I don't know that.
Yeah. I know. I'm so embarrassed. Yeah, we're all over social media. Instagram, 22 years. You can follow us. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Now, so how many... I mean, there's a lot of actors here, right? Mm-hmm. Young Avi, she looks like a cute girl. How old is she? She plays like the young...
Younger you.
Me. Younger
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, actually, I had to audition her.
Really?
So it was... I can tell you. Want me to tell you about that audition process?
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, when I put something down like on Actors Access or LA Casting to find, you know, to have an audition, at first I was like, okay, what nationality should we put? We should just put all of them. You know, if I put Latin, Italian, Middle Eastern, hopefully, because I have curly hair, hopefully we'll try. So then all the little girls that were coming, they, you know, here in LA, any Latin person is mostly, most likely Mexican. And I'm like, okay, well, that they look nothing like me, where I look more Mediterranean. So then I had to, like, change. What do we had to change the nationality and stuff like that. So this little girl walked in, and we were like, that's me.
Her.
That's me. And she, we even dress alike in real life, like little skinny jeans and Converse. Yeah, she had this little leather jacket.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's going to be
cool,
a superstar, that girl.
Really?
She does that. She does karate. She rides horses. She plays drums. She does commercials. Yeah. She's super talented. Yeah.
So what's her ethnicity then? Because you said you weren't sure...
I think her mom is, you know, white, Jewish, from New York,
Latin,
and
right?
her dad is, like, Peruvian.
Yeah.
And
then
you come out looking, we look the same. So, I mean, at the end of the day, probably everybody's all mixed up anyway.
Absolutely.
You put, like, two different things together, you end up coming out with somebody that, you know, we all look alike.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, Latin people are all... It's just basically a mix of everybody.
It is.
So. But she seems so young. I mean, can they act at that age? How old
That's
is she?
Right. Yeah. He directed
she
her.
She was, I was, what, 8?
She was 8 years old?
Yeah, how was it to direct
her? Like 8 years old. It was a delight. She was very attentive. You know, with kids, you have to be ready to go.
Right.
Like, as soon as you say cut, their mind is, she's playing with balls and playing
right.
with their dogs, and her little brothers came. But, you know, as soon as I said, you know, we're about to roll, and I had some notes for her, she would, you know, go right back into mode, and she would take the notes, you know, make sure she was comfortable, any questions, and just shoot, and she was a breeze. She was a delight. Yeah, real sweet young lady.
Very cool.
Sometimes children have an easier time just finding those emotions right there on the surface,
Yeah, and as long as they can be a kid at least for a couple seconds within this thing,
right.
You know, and they can get back to it.
Right.
You'll be good.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, you got a lot of cute actresses here, too. Yeah. Well, I definitely need to come. So you had the premiere already? I mean, was this launched, like, with a premiere? How do you go about it? I mean, I don't understand how films work.
What was the first screening?
In Los Angeles.
Yeah, it was a film festival.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Fred won honorable mention as a director. I won Best Actress.
She won that, Los Angeles Movie Awards. That was the first.
And that's when he started realizing, okay,
yeah,
here we go.
Yeah.
So you were a dancer. How did you get into acting?
Well, like I said earlier, you know, I've been acting since I was a kid, but probably while I was still in New York, while I was still doing the Broadway shows, I knew that I would eventually transition to acting. So I was, you know, I got really serious as far as staying in class all the time, and I started doing a lot of independent films, you know, really low budget films, kind of, you know, but that would do the festivals just to start building my reel, getting more experience, so that when I moved here, I was already ready, set to go. You know, here's my reel. I'm all, you know, ready. And so I always knew that I was going to make that transition. It just depends. Yeah. It was just waiting for my body to be like, and my body's done.
And we're finished.
My back hurts.
And take a bow.
Literally.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so does it really happen where at a certain point you realize I'm not as good a dancer anymore? Or?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm not.
Okay. So what happens?
I mean, it's like you kind of lose your pet. If I was still in New York, I'm sure I would still be dancing. Mm. I just needed a life change, mm-hmm. you know.
A lifestyle change.
I want a good
change,
lifestyle yeah. change. I want a beautiful weather. I want to see the beach. I mean, New York is a lot, and that's yeah. normal. Now when I go back, I'm like, oh, my God, I can't do this. It's mm-hmm. so loud. There's mm-hmm. too many people. It's so dirty. Oh, my, I need space. So I was ready for change, and I'm sure I'm going to change again.
Yeah.
I love, who knew I was going to be producing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'll be doing next.
That's right. Life. That's the best.
Yeah. And so, Fred, for you, directing is the way to go, right? That's your passion?
Yeah. Well, I grew up as a trained actor first, and then, I mean, honestly, I'd been directing, writing, and acting since I was about 8 years old. And I didn't know there was a difference.
Right.
I just saw what the guys and women on television did, and I wanted to do that. So I just kind of replicated
right.
what they did. And then, you know, you get older, you find out, oh, this and that and this.
But they're also intertwined, you're right.
Yeah,
like dancing and acting yeah. is very similar,
you know,
too.
I mean, nobody was hiring an 8-year-old kid at the time in Philadelphia. Like, you know, so it was like, all right, well, I'll do the play myself, or
there
I'll
you go.
Write it myself, or I'll... you know, acted myself and directed. I didn't realize I was directing as well, because I would bring other kids in for little plays.
You just
like
did
that.
It naturally.
Yeah, just did it naturally. But then as I got older, I just said I'll become more trained and, you know, get my hands on equipment. And that's what kind of made me go to grad school and
yeah.
so I can start filming, you know, using actual, you know, shooting film, mm-hmm. 16 millimeter and that whole, which they don't use anymore, it seems like.
Yeah, no, they right. do not.
But yeah. it's like, yeah.
We've
you know
advanced.
What's funny? When I was a kid, too, up the street, because, you know, we had row homes, I used to put on shows, and I would charge
y'all
people 25 cents. And I would choreograph little dances and put on shows, and everybody come and, like, watch.
Right.
And I'd make lemonade. You had that was 5 cents. So, I mean, you better come and watch your show.
Yeah.
And I'd make a little
yeah.
money. I think I walked
yeah.
away
this
for, like,
reminds
$2.
Me of
that's
a very,
really good.
Yeah. This reminds me of a shameful time in my life. I mean, I was a kid probably 12 years old. I had a friend, and I would do, like, shows for him, comedy shows. And in return, I'd ask him to allow me to peek at his mom taking a shower. Peek at his mom taking a shower.
Oh, my
because
God.
At the time, there were, like, keyholes in the doors, oh, you know.
That's a good bargain.
Yeah, that's a good bargain, right?
Sexual I mean, harassment.
Shameful,
he sold
but.
Out his mom?
What's
he
that?
He sold out his mom.
Wow.
Just well, for some laughter.
What the hell? We're 12 years yeah. old. What do we know, you know?
Right.
But all I know is I had to look. So, yeah, I was a dirty little boy. What can I say?
That's
you
why
know?
I don't want a boy as a child. I'm so
right?
scared.
They're crazy, right?
A little, yeah.
They do the craziest things.
I don't want some guy looking at me in the shop. Or I probably will at that point.
Yeah. When you're that age, you don't even know what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
You really don't.
You don't.
Well, I did.
I did.
Yeah. I don't know, but yeah, so I mean, I understand about performing for friends and stuff. I used to do that too, do comedy for my friends and stuff when I was young. But, you know, when I grew old, it never occurred to me to be a stand-up comic
really?
Or anything like that. Yeah, I don't think I could do it, you know, like I told you. I do have the confidence to be in front of crowds, but mostly with music. Mm-hmm. You know, I've played guitar and sang for many years. I can speak in front of people, no problem. But comedy, mm-hmm. I think it'd be too much pressure on me. You
yeah,
know?
It's really scary telling jokes to strangers.
Right.
It's really scary.
Right.
And I love it, but if you don't yeah. love it, you will hate it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't yeah. suggest it.
I know. So what's next for you guys? Do you have anything planned for the future?
Well, Fred wrote a really great feature film script. So I want to get that made.
Yes.
The next time I produce something, I'm like, it's going to be a feature film, you know, because that for me, that's going to be the next step. It's going
right.
to be a lot more money that I have to raise or look for investors. So yeah. I want to do
a lot
that
more
with him.
Work. A lot more work, obviously.
Yeah, but then I'll be getting paid
right.
finally, because I sure enough don't get paid for short films. Like money coming
the money's
out of my
rolling
own
in.
Money. Yeah.
Right.
I know.
So
that's
you know, I'll be
is.
Able to pay myself and pay other people. And I love working with Fred, so he knows, I think he trusts me.
Yeah.
If I say I'm going to get something done, then I get it done.
That's
and I work my butt off.
So you guys are planning to continue working together and
yeah.
stuff, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, yeah.
Very
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Very
yeah.
cool.
Definitely.
And so let's give out websites so people can find out more about the film. Tell us again where they can see the trailer.
My website is dawn-noel.com. That's dawn-noel.com. And you can follow us on Twitter, 22 Years Film. We're on Instagram, 22 Years, and that's the number 22. And you can follow me and the film on Facebook. You can see the trailer on YouTube. What else?
Your Twitter, your Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. Mine is, you can follow me, Dawn Noel, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah, I guess if they go to your website, it's probably linked.
Everything is
everything
right?
is, yeah.
Yeah.
And we were on IMDb where you can see the cast. You can see the trailer there also. And then Fred,
okay, and that's for the film. Do you want to? Yeah,
yeah. I'm at for Twitter. I'm at Derf Samat, which is my name spelled backwards. Fred Thomas. D-E-R-F-S-A-M-O-H-T.
Did you not know that?
O H T. Yeah, Derf Samat.
I was just like, what? Yeah. Why is that choice, so Fred? Why?
Derf Samat.
I didn't know you were in a rap group. And
and on Instagram at I am Fred Thomas Jr.
Nice.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And so a couple more things. Did you want to give a shout out to any of the people on the film? Do you remember all of them? Or?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's start going down the list. Well, we don't have to all of them. But so you're playing the adult. What's her name in the film?
Avi.
That's right. Okay. And how did you get that name? That's an Israeli name.
I know. I was going to say
that. I know. And for boys, usually.
I know.
So, but that's interesting, right?
I know. I've always loved it.
Really?
And I also, it's also from the Bible, and I'm not religious at all. Aviel is my best friend's daughter's name, but I just always loved that name.
Cool name.
And actually, from an Israeli, a male Israeli that I met, I always loved that name.
Really?
And then, so it's like an Israeli first name, a Latin last name. Just, and then, you know, just throw it. I just like to mix everything.
Yeah,
so
let's
people
mix
are
everything
like,
up.
Huh, what is this? What's going on? Don't worry about it. Listen to, watch the story.
Yeah.
You know? Just
they'll definitely not blame, accuse you of whiteout, you know? Yeah. That's cool.
What's the hardest role that you had on it? Was it the producing? Was it the acting? What did you think?
It was, this project wasn't that hard for me.
That's
I
great.
Mean, I worked my butt off, but it's there, the acting kind of just came. I identified a lot with this character. Maybe dealing with some of the people that I had to work with was the hard part. Mm. But no, this was, the acting came. Thank God I had Fred. I trusted Fred and just go on the ride with him as a director.
Right.
Yeah.
And you mentioned financing. Did you do this on a shoestring? Or, I mean, did you get some money from anybody?
Thread.
A thread.
A piece of lint. A lint budget. We did on
innuendo
a lint budget.
Innuendo of lint.
Right. Yeah. Dawn just had, you know, a lot of wonderful people come through and donate, especially her executive producer.
Megan Spector.
So between donations and just people donating their time and their locations and whatnot. It was just amazing.
Mike McKnight, he's our composer, and love him to death. And he did it as a favor for me. I met him on tour with Madonna. He's worked with Madonna for 30 years, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Mariah Carey, just everyone. Beautiful human being, so talented. So he did our score. He actually won Best Sound at the Las Vegas Black Film Festival.
Wow.
Yeah, super talented. Sounds beautiful. So we've gotten a lot of favors and people that they're trying to make transitions to and in their life. So
it's karma. You be good to people, they be good back. Yes.
Right. And you know, you collaborate like this, you know, you meet people, you get opportunities and things like that. So it always makes sense.
And I always return favors. What do you need me for anything? Got, you know, and I'm always there for people too.
Yeah.
And we got some really great you know, associate producers, Akil Lukman. He's been helping me a lot this past, you know, in post-production. I met him when he was 12. He was my baby Simba on the tour of Lion King.
Wow.
And now he's grown up. He's 26. And he's also trying to make transitions from doing musical theater and musicals. So he's come on board as one of the producers.
What were you in the Lion King?
Everything.
Were you? I was going to say, were you the piece of grass? It was one of my favorite musicals.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I mean, I've done the show for so long, on and off. I was a swing at one point. I was the cheetah. I mean, literally, I know every single part in the show.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Circle of Life. I love that show. Yeah. Such a beautiful show.
Well, the film is 22 years, guys, and if you want to find it, you can see the trailer on YouTube. You can go to don-noel.com. And, of course, Fred Thomas Jr. is the director. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining
thanks
us.
Thanks for having me. Yeah,
Don, thanks for making it happen.
Thank you.
Congratulations thank you on the film. Yeah. You'll have to
thank
come
you
back
so
and,
much.
When you have the next one in the in.
For
in the
sure.
Bag. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good luck at the award shows.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, guys. So you all go check it out. Oh, today's only Thursday. I thought it was Friday. So we do have one more day, folks, this week. So have a good one, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.